Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
Pleasant good day to Grenada, Caracou, Petit Martinique, the rest of the Eastern Caribbean, wherever you are throughout the world. I am Pastor Stanford Simon. It's a great joy. This is Inside Finance, and within the next 30 minutes, I will be speaking to Mr. Timothy Antoine, who is Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance. We have a number of things to talk about, including the first question I ask him about the visit of the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. Mr. Cameron was here in the past week, and I'm sure he will tell us about that. We take a word from our sponsors. We come back and have the discussion here Inside Finance with Mr. Timothy Antoine.
St. George's Baptist Church. Purpose: the channel God chooses to fulfill the needs of humanity. Vision: building communities which become the model for winning people to Christ. Mission: goal: empowering people to enjoy prosperity and fulfillment in life. These are the purpose, vision, and mission of the St. George's Baptist Church.
Welcome back. Thank you so much for joining me today. The excitement of this country is always good, but welcome, Mr. Timothy.
Good day to you, Pastor Simon, and good day to all of our listeners, home and abroad.
Well, how was your week?
Busy, hectic, exciting, good.
Well, like I've seen and learned, and the news have reported very well, too. The week passed, the Grenada government received the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. Did you meet him? One. And two, what was it all about? Why were he here? I heard he went to Jamaica, but he also came to Grenada. Can't you just fly to Grenada? There must be a reason to come to Grenada and talk to us.
Yes, well, I did have the privilege of meeting Prime Minister Cameron as part of Prime Minister Mitchell's delegation that met with him for bilateral discussions on Grenada's needs. And it was a very good meeting. In terms of impressions, I found him to be very engaging, very, very open, and quite warm. And he seemed very similar to what I have seen on television. He's tall, about 6'1", young, so I think he's around 48, and quite energetic. And I say that because I remember, as an example, when I met Colin Powell, and he came to Grenada after Hurricane Ivan. And I met him, he came at the airport with Prime Minister and others, and he was a lot fairer than he seemed on television.
Okay.
So sometimes what you see on TV or what you see in person are not the same. But Prime Minister Cameron, he looked as I have seen him on TV, and I found him, as I said, very engaging, very direct. And he was quite warm. I mean, he made it clear. He came to Grenada, came to Jamaica first and then Grenada, as part of a new approach that his country, the United Kingdom, wishes to pursue with the Caribbean. He acknowledged that in recent times, and certainly in the last couple decades perhaps, and certainly in the last decade, the UK has taken the Caribbean somewhat for granted. Benign neglect, as it is referred to, and that he wanted to forge a deeper and stronger relationship. He also indicated that, you know, as part of that commitment, he would, in fact, the government be putting additional resources for the Caribbean as part of the UK's effort to meet its aid target. And the United Kingdom has taken a very important and principled stand to raise the level of aid, a foreign, what we call development assistance, to countries. And he wanted to make sure that the Caribbean gets its fair share up that aid budget. And so, of course, you would have heard him made the announcement of the £300 million for infrastructure in the Caribbean. So it was a very interesting visit. It was short, but quite effective.
So with that in mind, he visited. You also had another high-profile person visiting during the course of the past week.
Yes, we had Princess Anne working with the Emerging Leaders program. And again, I was fortunate not to meet her, but to meet a number of the Emerging Leaders. Both Minister Joseph and I received them at the Ministry of Finance and had an engagement with them talking about our development issues, talking about leadership and Caribbean development, including, of course, what we're doing in Grenada. So that was fun. Those are the parts of the job that's just fun. You just enjoy it.
I guess the question a lot of people would be asking, what are some of the benefits that come out of those kind of visit that you had in the past week to Grenada?
Well, let me start with the... Well, let me talk about the Prime Minister Cameron's visit, which I'm more familiar with. What did we discuss? We talked about debt forgiveness. Grenada has some debt owed to the United Kingdom. It's not very large. It's probably about £2 million sterling. But we have sought debt forgiveness. And in fact, we updated him on the progress we've made with our debt restructuring. What we've done with the commercial creditors, 50% haircut, with Taiwan, 50% haircut. And we ask him for complete debt forgiveness of the existing debt and for help and support in the Paris Club, where we will be, which we will be approaching shortly to seek relief on the Paris Club debt. Paris Club debt is not very large. It's just around $11 million thereabouts. But every cent counts. We then talked about infrastructure and our needs in Grenada. Of course, he was able to witness the recently collapsed bridge in Guelph, the Hubble Bridge, as an example of the needs. And we have a number of bridges in the country that are in dire need of replacement. Of course, our roads and so on. So Minister Bowen spoke on that issue. We talked about the need to not just restore or to rehabilitate our roads and bridges, but to ensure that they're climate resilient, the need to take climate change into account. So we did discuss the issue of climate change. In fact, he brought it up, and how Grenada could access climate funds, including the Green Climate Fund, to help us with some of our infrastructure needs. And the UK is a big leader on the issue of climate change, and we, in fact, congratulated him on his leadership in that particular area. Minister Joseph also would have mentioned the support that the United Kingdom gave in leading the new European Development Fund envelope for the Caribbean. The UK was very positive, very supportive on that. That's grant money. And so Minister Joseph spoke to that, as well as some of the other issues in our economy in terms of trade and development. We also discuss our homegrown program. And we share certain things in common. When he got into government in 2010, he had to do his own structural adjustment program. Obviously, he didn't go to the IMF. Do recall years ago, I think in the 70s, the United Kingdom actually went to the IMF. They didn't on this occasion, but they took steps. The country took steps to address their fiscal and debt situation. And it was interesting to see that even having taken some tough measures, he was able to turn around the fiscal situation in the UK, to see the country, the economy begin to recover, to see growth again. And in fact, he was able to win the election, get an outright majority earlier this year in May, which is interesting. So we share the common things in that we are also working in Grenada on reducing our deficit, getting our fiscal house in order. So he was quite pleased with what we are doing and have already done and accomplished, and commended us for that. And we also commended him for the progress he and his government are making to put the fiscal situation in order in the UK. And remember, when the UK economy grows, we get a benefit because we get more tourists coming with more disposable income from the United Kingdom. Right now, every year, we get just under 25,000 tourists from the UK. And obviously we want to see that number increase. And when they come, they tend to spend 10, 14 days. You know, they're not the 7 days. They tend to stay longer. And they spend. We saw what happened when they came for the cricket in April and how that had a big impact in terms of economic impact, on, you know, in the country. So we talked about that. And he encouraged us to, you know, continue to do what we're doing. We encourage him as well. And we talked about also a little bit about the doing business environment and the things we're doing to improve our doing business environment. And he encouraged us to keep doing what we can in that regard. So it was a good exchange of views. And then, of course, we talked a little bit about security. And the bottom line is, I mean, you cannot have sustainable development and prosperity if there is no exactly. And you know, that's important. We are in a tourism business, and of course Grenada is fortunate, and we have to make sure we keep it that way with God's help and of course country working together, that we have a relatively low crime rate. And that means that's positive for us in terms of the business environment, in terms of tourists, in terms of investors. So he again commended the efforts that we're making in that regard, the regional security system. And generally, he committed himself, his government, to continue to work with the Caribbean on this issue of security, having regard for its importance for overall economic development and sustained prosperity. So it was a good bilateral discussion. And I felt fortunate to be asked to play a small role as part of the Prime Minister's team. And he did say, Prime Minister Cameron, on his return, he would formally convey to us you know, some of the discussions we had in terms of his follow-up actions to deliver on some of the commitments. But I think the big announcement he made was really the £300 million that will be available to the Caribbean for infrastructure development. And that's a very significant thing because it is grant money, not loan. It is grant. And it will be available through the Caribbean Development Bank, which of course Grenada is a member of. So a number of the projects that we discussed, we are going to be submitting those projects to the CDB for consideration under the program. And very importantly, it will be grant funding, not loans. So that was a very welcome statement, announcement by the Prime Minister.
Very good. Just a matter of note, was the Prime Minister here when the Prime Minister of Britain visited?
Absolutely, yes. He had to be here. So I think he came back from New York in time. You remember he was at the UN the week before. That. So he came back in time to ensure he was here for the visit and led the visit. In fact, he received him at the airport. He was in Goa with him, doing the tour, and of course the bilateral which we had, and later on when they laid the wreath at the cenotaph, he was there as well. So no, the Prime Minister Mitchell was very much leading the Grenada effort in terms of the reception of Prime Minister Cameron. I should also say that at the outset, you know, when they came in for the official bilateral, both Prime Ministers met and they exchanged gifts. And basically, I recall Prime Minister Cameron gave Prime Minister Mitchell a gift that had some cricket history, some of the great English greats. And he also gave him a picture and a medal, I think, with Kerani from the London Olympics 2012. So those were quite unique and, you know, interesting, appreciated things that, of course, the country appreciates, the Prime Minister appreciates. The Prime Minister gave him a gift with the nutmeg, which of course is a big symbol for us, Isle of Spice. So that was a nice little gesture right at the beginning before we sat down to do the bilateral. And he did say when we started the meeting that he was very pleased to be in Grenada as the first British Prime Minister, certainly since independence, but as far as we know, the first British Prime Minister. And he obviously made history in that regard. But and we also confirm he had been to Grenada before, but as a private citizen, I think around 2002, 2003, before Hurricane Ivan, when he visited as a tourist. So it was not his first visit to Grenada, but it was his first visit as the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. And of course, we were delighted to have him. You would recall we did receive the Queen, I think back in 1985, after the restoration of parliamentary democracy. But it was certainly the first time we had a sitting UK Prime Minister visit. And I think we felt very proud to have been selected Of all the countries he could have gone to, he went to Jamaica and Grenada. So we feel special.
Well, we feel special. I feel special too, to be able to do that. Listeners, you listen to Inside Finance. I am Stanford Simon. I'm speaking with the Permanent Secretary, the Ministry of Finance, Mr. Timothy Antwine. Mr. Timothy Antwine, we take a word from our sponsors. We come back, continue my discussion here with him. I want to talk about the petrol tax has been increased and what is government doing with the revenue and surplus that they're receiving, because things are looking up in that area. We take a word, we come right back.
St. George's Baptist Church. Purpose. The channel God chooses to fulfill the needs of humanity. Vision, building communities which become the model for winning people to Christ. Mission, goal, empowering people to enjoy prosperity and fulfillment in life. These are the purpose, vision, and mission of the St. George's Baptist Church.
Welcome back. This is Inside Finance. I am Stanford Simon. With me in the studio is Mr. Timothy Antwine, Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance. Now, I understand the petrol tax has been increased. Why was this done? Why are we at this point when the oil prices are going down, a barrel of oil are going down, prices seems to be going up?
Yes, so the petrol tax was increased to $5. Effective September 18th. So it was increased by $1. By doing so, we were able to still keep the price at the pump the same. Of course, had we not increased the tax, the price would have gone down, as it has been trending down. Why was the tax necessary at this time? I think it's important to remind everyone that we're still in the homegrown program. We do have very important targets to meet. You recall when the program was announced and formally launched, approved by the IMF's executive board in June of 2014, we published the full program and all of the measures, the fiscal measures that were going to be implemented. We also indicated at the time that some measures will be implemented in 2014, some in 2015, and some in 2016. Most of the measures have already been implemented. Many of them were implemented in 2014, some in 2015. There are a couple in 2016. Now, one of the things that was a mark for 2016, if you go back and you look at that published document by the IMF, was another revision in the property tax. So it would have been a further increase in property tax. The government has decided not to increase property tax. And as a result, we had to find an alternative revenue measure to compensate for that. It is also important to note that we have also had to reduce the annual stamp tax after further discussions with the private sector. So we have accommodated their request, but in doing so, one has to look for ways to compensate, right? Because you still have to meet the targets.
Right.
And we've come too far now to turn back. Now, if we don't do revenues, we always have expenditure, but that really means sending home public servants. And I think we all know the government and the social partners have discussed and agreed that there will not be public retrenchment. There will not be retrenchment of public officers. And so, you know, a lot of the effort is really on cutting waste in the public service, debt restructuring, but also raising revenue. I want to say that it is a sacrifice we're making. We all have been asked to pay more, me included, but we are seeing progress and results, and it's very important for us to stay the course. We've come very far. We are almost towards the end of the second year. We have one full year next year before the program officially comes to an end with a review in 2017, and we need to just stay the course and make sure we realize our goals, which is fiscal and debt sustainability, growth, faster growth and job creation, competitiveness, and financial stability.
So you're saying the reason why, because two things. One, we're supposed to increase the property tax, for which government has decided not to.
That's correct.
And secondly, It all happened out of the reality of what we face in maintaining your revenue based.
That is correct. That is correct.
Okay.
So it's a balancing act. It's always about revenues and expenditure. So that's how we have to get the fiscal in order.
Okay. Well, here is a good note. Well, a question I ask, I think it is a good note. Is it true that government has achieved a record revenue surplus in the past few months or in the past month?
No, I think we have to clear up a little confusion here. The revenues are doing well compared to our targets. We're meeting the targets, so we're happy about that. And the revenues are certainly doing better than they were doing several years ago. Yes, it is true tax rates have increased, but even where tax rates have not increased like VAT, we are collecting more VAT. But it is not true to say we are experiencing a record revenue surplus. If we were achieving that, there'll be no need for an increase in petrol tax. If we were doing that, then by now probably all the unpaid claims will be paid. And we've paid a lot, but we still have quite a bit to do. So I think we just need to make sure everybody understands what this thing means. There are some very basic things that we need to appreciate. Every month we're collecting revenues and we're paying out money. That's expenditure. Our revenues have improved, and we expect this year to have a primary surplus. What is a primary surplus? It is simply the budget balance less your interest expenditure. However, we will have an overall deficit. So it is not true to say we will have a surplus. I want to be clear about this. We have made a lot of progress. Now, I think some of that confusion may have arisen because in July of this year, Customs had a record collection of around $26 million.
And the target were?
The target was 23, 24 and so on. It passed it significantly. The big issue there was that it was the best month ever for Customs. The next best month was December 2007 when it collected around $25 million. So that's a significant indication that not just are the revenue measures working, but that economic activity is continuing to increase. That is not to say we have a revenue surplus. And I want to be clear on that. We must avoid the confusion, because we come in these programs and we try to be very transparent with the nation about what we're collecting. But I don't want people to misunderstand the collections and to think that we now have money and therefore everything is fine. Everything is not fine. That is why we have to continue to do what we're doing. We're seeing good progress. People are recognizing our efforts and are helping us in terms of giving us support. Very soon we'll have both the IMF and World Bank, CDB, approving additional money for us because of the progress we've made under the program this year. But we are not out of the woods, so we have to keep working at it. I think the fact that the economy is picking up and we're seeing growth averaging 4% over the last couple of years, we expect to have about 3.5% this year, those are good, positive signs. Employment is falling, or unemployment is falling, which means employment is rising. That's good. But there's still work to be done. So let's be very, very clear about these numbers.
So my excitement is not one to be maintained then. I already thought you had a huge amount of surplus based on what I was hearing.
No, you were not hearing correctly. You should be encouraged by the revenue collections.
Uh-huh.
But you should not get too excited because we do not yet have a revenue surplus.
Okay.
We would have a surplus when all of our expenditure is covered and we still have something over.
But we do not have that at this point.
We are not there yet.
So you're barely making your balancing act every month.
Compared to where we were, I mean, let's face it. When we had a monthly shortfall of $18 million, we were spending $53 million and collecting $35 million. That's a shortfall of $18
million. And now?
Now, up to July, August, we were collecting $51.5 million and spending 52.6, a shortfall of 1.1 million. So from 18 to 1.1, that's massive improvement. But we are still in a deficit. So we have to continue to be patient, stay the course, do the right things which we're doing, and not get carried away and get into bad behavior where we start overspending again.
All right, I would keep my peace on that one until the report.
Stay tuned.
Folks, you're here. As much as I was thinking we have big surplus, I know some of you are thinking the same thing. Mr. Timothy said, not that quick. We're not there yet. Now, one of the things, this week, two protocols were signed for a national plan to 2030. What was that all about? And there was some discussion also about who signed and who didn't sign.
Well, we had a very historic signing this week when we signed two protocols for the national plan. One with the steering committee members, which are the social partners plus several other interest groups. We all signed as how we're going to proceed, how we're going to conduct ourselves in this very important national exercise of preparing National Sustainable Development Plan 2030. And then we also had a signing by the political parties. We had both the New National Party and the National United Front sign, and that was also very, very good. We hope that the National Democratic Congress will be able to sign in due course, and if there are any other parties that have an interest, they can signal that interest. The importance of the political parties is to make sure, as I have said before, that we create a space where the public, the citizens, can engage with the plan without fear of any political label, political interference, intimidation, just freedom to speak their minds. We don't want to go into communities and have the yellow and the green dominating the discussions. We want to create a space where you come as a citizen and you say what you want to see in this national plan, which is, what do I want my country to look like? And how do I want to make my contribution? We want people to come without worrying about what their party thinks, because what you think and what your party think may not be the same. You must be free to say what you want to see. The political parties will have the opportunity to speak directly to the steering committee on what they would like to see in the plan. So we're not leaving out the political parties. It is just that when we get into the community, we want to make sure that the space is created for people to be free to speak their minds and to give fully into the plan. And one of the things we have to do as a nation, as a maturing country, is to be able to just put aside the political labels and look at Grenada. This plan is about Grenada, for Grenadians, by Grenadians. Ultimately, we expect the political parties to take guidance from the plan, and we expect the people to hold the political parties accountable for the implementation of the plan. But it is not to be dominated by political parties. Political parties get into government, whoever they vie for office, and whoever gets into government then has to implement. So there is a role, and we've been very clear on how we want to proceed. And we believe that the signing of the protocol is an important step in terms of the expectation of how the political parties will conduct themselves during the process of development of this plan. So it was a very historic occasion, and I'm grateful to all those who came, both the members of the steering committee, my fellow patriots on the committee, but also to the political parties that came and signed. In terms of next steps, I just want to say we are going to be coming out soon with a draft vision statement for the plan. We'll share with the public. We would also then be beginning community consultation. So we will let you know what the schedule is when we're coming. In the meantime, we're working on finalizing certain aspects. And then when we start the community consultation, we'll also start the writing of the actual plan. So it's been, the last 4 months have been very useful in terms of building the foundation for the construction of the national plan. You have to have a solid foundation, and the protocols were part of that foundation. Now it's time for us to begin to build out the actual plan.
Okay. Now that makes a lot of sense. Just quickly, the geothermal, where are we on that? Is there anything update with that?
Well, we're working on that. We have a geothermal advisor who is now actually in our energy division, provided by New Zealand. So we are working on that. We'll be working soon on geothermal legislation. The government of Japan, through a contractor, Japan is actually doing some additional 3G work, geological work, on the geothermal. And we will then have some additional results in the next couple of months, probably the end of the year. And then we give a further update on that. So we're very much pushing forward with geothermal development. And you'll hear more about that in due course.
Okay. Any final thought as we conclude this time together?
Just to say that we are pressing on with budget preparations. Of course, budget is next month, November 25th is the target date for presentation. We've been involved with several consultations, and we want to thank everyone who's contributed to those consultations. I again wish to express my thanks to my colleagues in the Ministry of Finance for all their hard work, and of course to Minister Joseph and the Prime Minister, who's also the Minister of Finance.
All right, thank you so much, Mr. Timothy Antwine, for being with us today. It was a good visit meeting the Prime Minister Cameron and the other high-profile visit we had during the course of the week, and good to know that at least we are close to collecting the amount of money we spend. So at least we're not over surplus. We don't have a whole lot of surplus sitting in the treasury for us. It's good to talk with him, and I want to wish you well and your team as you continue to work together. And this has been a program of Inside Finance. I'm Stanford Simon, wishing you a blessed week. Go to our website, sgbcgrenada.com, also to the Ministry of Finance website. The program is uploaded there, all available to you. And join us here next week at the same time. We do this all over again right here. Pleasant good afternoon to all the folks who are listening in New York. Whole lot of you there. And this program has become very much part of your Sunday. You really want to know what's happening in Grenada. You turn on to Inside Finance. And those of you business persons who are listening, I know that it has been very, very helpful to you. And I'm very happy we're able to do this with the Ministry of Finance. I am Pastor Stanford Simon. Wishing you a blessed week.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.